Would you welcome back Dale Jones to Jubilee?
Thank you. It feels so good to be in here. I can't believe I'm here in January. This is the first time in 18 years that I've experienced snow and cold, and just this week had a snowstorm sandwiched between two Arctic blasts, and I don't know, is there an end to this? Yeah, okay, about June. Well, I'll be gone by then, long before then. Yeah, it's great to be back here. I love the sense of anointing that's here in this church, and it feels like I never left, coming back into this atmosphere. Although a lot of new faces, the Spirit of the Lord and his presence here is not a lot different than the last time I was here and the time before that and the time before that. It's so good to come back and just soak in that presence of the Lord. It's actually 20 years ago this month that we became official members of Jubilee. In the year 2000, we had spent a number of years in Cambodia as missionaries and came back and were getting reset on a new path. And Jubilee took us in then, and we became part of this church and have been part of this church ever since. Even though we don't see your faces from one week to the next, you're certainly in our hearts and our minds, and we certainly pray for you, as I'm sure you pray for us. So 20 years running, as Mark said, it's easier to count decades at this point. And Lord willing, there'll be a few more decades left as we move forward. I'd like to read from a text in Matthew chapter 9. And I want to talk about faith today, which is a recurring theme, I'm sure. But I think what I have to share may be a little bit different than you hear on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis. I'm hoping also to give you a little glimpse of some of the ministry we're doing. I can't possibly lay it all out before you, but maybe get a little sense of some of the things that we're involved with by sharing on this subject of faith. And let's read this text together from Matthew chapter 9. There's verse 22. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. And then verse 27 of the same chapter to 29. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Lord Jesus, we thank you for the miracle-working power of God that we can receive, that we can experience, and that we can give out. Lord, we thank you that you are ever present in our lives, and that you desire to reveal yourself to us in ever deepening ways. And I pray, God, that we will have a surge of faith in our spirits today as we meditate on your word and we listen to what you have to say to us. And we commit this morning and this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a story with you that is a true story, although when I first heard it, I had a hard time believing it was true. A couple of years ago, well, no, not even that long, maybe a year and a half ago, I was invited to a gathering where a Christian family was opening a new resort near the town where we were living in Cambodia. And we were part of a number of guests from town, the only foreigners that were there. And we didn't get too far into the ceremonies of what was taking place. We had some food. And because we had visitors come from Phnom Penh to visit us, my wife Kathleen and I had to leave early. Well, we heard from some others that were there an amazing testimony apparently, some time before that, maybe 1 year to 2 years before that, I had gone to the home of a man who was dying of cancer, which would have been at the very same time that my wife was battling cancer, and offered to pray for him to be healed. I have no idea to this day what this man looks like. I don't know his name. I don't know where it was or where the house was. I don't remember anything about it. But he knew my name, and he said that I came to pray for him, and he experienced an immediate change in his body, and he knew that God was touching him, and he was completely healed of cancer. And his whole family came to know Jesus because of that miracle. Praise God. Yeah. Now, when you think about that, the question is, was it by my faith that he was healed or his? Well, the fact that I have no recollection of this incident at all leads me to believe that it was not because of my faith, but because of his faith in the power of God that he was healed. And truly does reflect the verses that we just read, that the woman that had the issue of blood, she pursued Jesus until she could touch his robe, and all of a sudden healing power came into her body, and she was miraculously healed. And the two blind men also followed after Jesus when he left the house, and they were determined to receive healing from him. And in both of those cases, it was according to faith that they were healed, but not the faith of the healer, the faith of the one receiving the healing. Now, this is the best case scenario when it comes to ministering in signs and wonders and healing and all that. The best case scenario is that you pray for somebody and something happens. And when something happens, that they turn their hearts to the Lord, not just the person healed, but their entire family. This is what we pray for. This is what we hope for. This is the exact thing that we want to see happen over and over and over again. But how many of you know that this is not the way we normally experience things? Have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing happened? Nobody? I mean, it's just me? Have you ever thought of yourself as one who'd been used in healing, but still, having prayed for somebody, no one was healed? Now, this happens to me over and over and over again, and it's so frustrating. And I don't know, it's so hard to know the answer to that question. Why do people get healed sometimes, and then other times, they're not healed? Well, according to the Bible, it's according to faith. Not my faith, but the faith of that person that's receiving. And so I think about my own faith. Do I believe that God can and will and is healing somebody? And I would say that 9 times out of 10, I mean, maybe the 1 time out of 10, I'm not feeling so good or so confident or whatever. But 9 times out of 10, if I'm going to pray for somebody for healing, I believe something's going to happen. I really do believe that God is going to touch that person. But it's not according to my faith, but the faith of the person being prayed for. So how much faith do I need as one that is ministering healing or doing a miracle or a sign or a wonder for that to actually happen? You know how much we need? Just enough to go to that person and say, can I pray for you? Have you ever felt like, I'm not a person who has enough faith to pray for people because I've never seen it happen? I've never seen them receive anything. Have you ever had that thought? God wants to change your mindset today to be a person that's willing to take a risk and pray for somebody to receive a miracle from God. Amen? That's all the faith you need, is enough to walk up to the person in love and say, can I pray for you? Now, we have a lot of people in our lives, their brothers and sisters, moms and dads, relatives, friends, neighbors, people that we know, colleagues that we work with. I'm not asking anyone to go and to knock on a door and to do the cold turkey Jehovah's Witness thing and, you know, give them whatever, you know, the brochures and all that. I'm not asking you to go and knock on doors. Simply those people that know you and you know them that have a need, are you willing to go and to pray for them? Perhaps they are a people that have enough faith to receive. I don't know why people have different levels of faith. I believe that even in Jesus' ministry, he experienced varying levels of faith. Do you remember in Matthew 13? We'll put this on the board. 53 to 58, I won't read it all, but the last verse. He was in Nazareth, and he was there in his hometown, and he couldn't get anything going. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So this ought to give you great comfort, brothers and sisters, because of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was unable to do miracles in that place because of unbelief. How much more are we unable to do miracles in our places of unbelief? When we're trying to share Christ with people that really have no faith at all, there's not a lot of hope that something's going to happen. And biblically speaking, Jesus also hit that same wall. We take comfort in this because we know that we are not able to do anything more than Jesus did. And I don't believe that Jesus didn't try to do anything. I just don't think anybody received it. So we are limited by something. And I think it's the limitation is according to faith. Another story to sort of illustrate this a little bit more. 3 years ago, it was shortly after I was here the last time in 2016, I got a call from some people that we were training. These were missionaries that we were training to join us in evangelism and disciple making and church planting. And they were not living in the same town that we were living in. And they called me and they said, there's this man who's all twisted up. And the family told me that he's got demons. And that he's so twisted up, he can't even move. They said he looks like a snake, coiled up. Can you come and pray for him? And immediately the Lord said to me, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to send them to go. And so I just simply said, I think that you're the one with the contact. You should go there and deliver that man. And they were very unsure about it. They'd never cast out demons or exercised or did anything like that. So they were unsure what to do, and I said, just simply go up to there. If you just act in faith and go to that man and say, may I pray for you, that is all the faith that you need to chase that thing out of there. And when it comes to demon possession, I think it's a little bit different than other miracles because it is depending on the faith of the person praying, not the faith of the one receiving, where the demon is chased out. Now, the person who is prayed for needs to have enough faith to close the door so that that demon and others don't come running back in. But it is primarily the faith of the person praying that is able to cast the demon out. You know how much faith that we need to do that? Just show up and say, in Jesus' name, you leave. Do you have enough faith to do that? And so that's what I told him. I said, just go there. The fact that you're going there with the intention to deliver this man is enough faith to see that demon leave, or demons leave. And sure enough, A couple days later, I got a call, and this missionary was so excited. We went there, and we said, in Jesus' name, you must leave, and he was delivered. All of a sudden, he was laying flat. No more curled up and all twisted by this demon. And I said, there you are. God is answering your prayers, and God is using you to deliver people. There was more to this story. They were too far away, and this man was not too far from where we were living, so they asked if I could step in and begin reaching out to that family and bring the gospel to them. And so I thought it was a good thing to do that. Myself and a partner that I work with, we went, and I shared the gospel with this man, and he was still laying in a bed. So I tried to get some information. I said, well, what's up with this? I thought, didn't these people come and pray for him? They said, yes. And I asked the old man as he's laying on the bed, I said, do you have any demons in you? And he said, no, they're all gone. And I said, well, why are you laying on the bed? And he said, well, I've been sick for 4 years. And this, whatever the sickness was, it's a very wasting and debilitating disease. And he was almost, he just given in bones. There was nothing left to him. And I said, do you believe that God can heal you? And he said, yeah. And so I shared the gospel with him. I shared with his wife, who was right there. His wife was really eating it all up. She really believed, but I could sense that there was some confusion and some unbelief in this man. And when I got to the point where I was ready to pray for him, and I said, I'm going to lay hands on you, and when I do that, you're going to sense the power of God healing you. And so I did that. I prayed for him. I laid my hands on him, and I said, get up. And he did not get up. And I said, if you get up, you will be healed. But he said, I can't get up. I said, I know you can't, but if you do, you will be healed. And he couldn't understand it. And I said, do you believe God is healing you right now? And he said, I'm not sure. So I asked his wife, I said, do you believe in God's power? She says, yes, I've seen it. I saw the demons leave. I can't believe how powerful this God is. She had all this faith, but the man who was sick had no faith. She said yes to God. He actually said, yes, I want to believe too. And they both became believers, but he was still sick. So they had enough faith to believe for salvation, but this man could not get enough faith to believe for healing. He had been sick too long. About 3 weeks later, he died. I'm like, what am I, Lord, this isn't fair. This is a perfect opportunity for you to show your power. How come this man is still like that? And just those words came back to my mind according to his faith. He did not have the faith. So we spent time with the wife and his daughter. They both came into the kingdom. They were believers, began to disciple them. But they were always perplexed about the man that died. And it's like, well, why? Why couldn't God heal him? And to try to walk them through and say, you know, it's not that God can't. He couldn't receive it. So there are varying measures of faith. He had enough faith to be set free. All this man needed to do was allow them to do this deliverance ministry, and that was enough faith for it to happen. Actually, demonic possession isn't that powerful. We got this idea that it's such a powerful thing. It is not. All you have to do is say go, and the thing goes. I'm serious. Do you? If you have that amount of faith, that's all you need, and they must obey. But sickness and disease is another thing. And a lot of it is tied to our flesh and our humanity. And to have faith for that requires a whole nother level. John 5:17-19 sheds a little light on this. I hope this is encouraging to you. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him because he had not broke this, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. The Father is working. The Father has always been working, and the Father will always be working. Do you believe that God is working in the lives of the people that you love, that they do not yet know the Lord? Do you believe that the Father's been working and he's setting them up for the gospel message? He's setting them up for seeds. It's like God is preparing the ground for you in advance. The Father is working. And what Jesus did was that he spent enough time with the Father that he could see what God was doing. And it's like, okay, I'm going to just do what he does. I'm just going to come alongside what the Father's already doing. And so there were these amazing results. And I think so often we seek to get training and knowledge and methods, and we want to fill our minds with all these things and to become equipped and effective. And the one thing that we need above all else is we need to be able to see what the Father's doing. And if we can see what he's doing, to have the faith to join him in that work, I believe that we would see a whole lot more take place around us. Jesus could see what the Father's doing. I wonder, do we see what the Father's doing? Do we have that insight? Have we spent time with him enough to see? Or are we relying on our own training and our own knowledge? Something for you to remember. You can put the next slide up. I want to give you a bit of wisdom. We can't do what we can't do. I know that's deep. It's true. Did you know that was true? It is true. Then the next slide, we can do what God's doing by joining him. And this is where we're stuck. We always try to do what we can't do, because we're blind to what the Father's doing. And what I'm speaking about more than anything else is the people in your lives that you have given up on, that I have given up on, that we've decided they're resistant to the work of God, they're not listening to his voice, they don't have any faith, they will never come around, they will never repent, they will never accept Jesus. Are there people that you know that you have thought these thoughts about? The Father is always working, and he never stops. He's working in them right now. I believe in every person there is a level of faith, that God creates us not to be absolutely faithless, that there is some measure of faith, but it's hidden within us, and it just needs to be uncovered. What faith is there in the hearts of our loved ones that are still so resistant? It's there somewhere. We talk a lot, I mean, I don't know if you probably remember the parable that Jesus taught about the sower who sowed seed in four different kinds of soil. Do you remember that parable? And the sower's out there throwing the seed out. And then later on, Jesus describes that seed as the word of God. And that the ground, the different ground, the rocky soil and the road and the weedy soil and the good soil, these are all like different qualities of men's hearts. And that the guy sowing doesn't really worry too much about the quality of their hearts. He's just sowing seed. And that's a very good thing. The sowing of the word of God is absolutely required for any kind of faith to be uncovered in their hearts. But we often expect that immediately after sowing that seed that there should be a harvest. For many, it takes a long time, and the sowing of that seed, the truth that's going in, takes a long time to germinate and grow and to bear fruit. And so we patiently watch that process and put water on it. So I want to ask you, there was no parable that I could find in Scripture that described what watering the seed was about. Do you have any idea? I can't say for sure, but my idea is that the watering of the seed is them experiencing the presence or the power of God in some way. I don't know about you, but most of the people that I know that have come to the Lord had some experience of the presence or the power of God that convinced them God is real and I need to trust in Him. Without the experience of Him and who He is, those seeds lie dormant and they don't come up and grow. And so a lot of the work that we must do in the lives of our loved ones around us as we're sowing seed, maybe it's just little scripture verses or little testimonies of what God's done in our lives, but we're planting these seeds in their hearts, but they need to be watered. And they can't be watered without an invitation. An invitation to say, can I pray with you about that financial situation? Can I pray with you about that divorce? Can I pray with you about that sickness that you have or that problem that you got? Give God an opportunity to work. Give God an opportunity to reveal His power to them. Amen? I want you to have a vision of this, that we don't have to have the highest level of faith right away, that we can water these seeds with little experiences of the power of God. And are we willing to love them enough to put ourselves out for that? And I believe if we've been sharing with somebody and they're resistant and they're not accepting, that if we will demonstrate love to them and say, you know, I just am concerned about you. May I pray with you? I believe that so many would just say, yeah, that's fine. You can go ahead and pray. What's the risk? I remember, I might have shared this in church here before, but Mark and Becky's first trip to Cambodia, they came in 2003. 2002. It was just a few months after we arrived there after being sent back by Jubilee. And my neighbor was a person that I was sowing a lot of seed into him. He had a whole group of a big family. He was the head of household, and he had four or five kids, and he had brothers and sisters, and this big extended family. You know, he was sort of the head of them all. And time after again, I was inviting him to believe in Jesus. Well, the problem is, in Cambodia, they don't have any concept of an invisible God. All of their gods can be seen in the form of different kinds of idols. And so they worship what they can see. They never worship what they cannot see. And so when I was inviting him to believe in a God that cannot be seen, it was really hard for him. And so Mark and Becky came, and they came over, and I just wanted to introduce them to him. And I asked him how his search for a job was going. And here's the head of household. He was unemployed for more than 2 years, and he was distraught. And he said, I just have no leads, nothing. So I remember exact place and the exact spot we prayed for him. And I said, could we pray for you that you would get a job? And Mark and Becky were there. And so he said yes. And he and his wife were there. We laid hands on them and we prayed that he would get a job. 6 days later, he came to my house just full of excitement. He said, I got a job as an editor of a newspaper. I couldn't believe it. This man had been searching and searching, and now he got this job. And What did that lead to? He experienced the power of God. He experienced the presence of God. He realized, I know I can't see him, but he is real. Because look at what he's done for me. Amen? Right then, when he came back, he was all excited. He said, I'm ready. I want to believe in this God. Signs and wonders and miracles, healings, all of these different things, more than anything else, is so that people can be drawn into the kingdom of God. God wants to draw the lost into his kingdom. He wants them to find him. I'm going to share one more story. I have too many things in my book. I got like 50 pages, but I can't share it all. One more story with you, and then we're going to close. We've been spending a lot of time, as Mark was saying, investing in other missionaries. It was 5 or 6 years ago, I was really at the end of my rope and in some ways, and I said to God, God, I do not want to work alone. And working alone is really tough. And God assured me that it wasn't his plan that I work alone. And so I began to pray for people to come around, come alongside and work along with me in sharing the gospel, making disciples, and really to spark movements of people finding Christ in that nation. And when I was here back in 2016, I had shared this vision of raising up teams of people that would work together and impact the 3 different main people groups in the town where we're living, in the province that we're living. And at that time, there were 0. It was just me and Kathleen, and that was it. But now, about half of what we need, about 10 people have joined us in becoming teams for these different peoples. We're looking for 3 teams with at least 3 different missionary families with each team to be able to work together to find inroads into these different people groups, these different language groups that exist there. And so we praise God that he's helped us to go that far, and I believe that very soon we're going to see these teams really formed and really effective, and that God has given me the vision and the gifting to not just recruit, but to train and to mentor these missionaries so that we can multiply our effectiveness there. One of these families that we're partnering with right now is working among what may be the most resistant group in all of the nation. It is an Islamic group that has been there for about 500 years. And not unlike the Muslims here, they're very resistant to outsiders and to listen to the good news and really resistant to change. Well, this couple that are actually from Canada have been partnering with me to try to reach out to these folks and to find breakthroughs and to share the gospel among them. They've been getting to know a woman that lives just around the corner from their house. And they went to visit her one day, and they had been sharing little bits of the gospel, a little story here and a story there, and maybe a little bit of the creation story and about salvation and whatnot. And she just had no sense of belief. There was just nothing happening. And so she was sharing with them that she couldn't sleep. Like for 3 or 4 nights, she just couldn't sleep at all, and she was really tired. And so they said, well, why don't we just pray for you? Because the God that we serve can do a miracle for you. Would you let us pray for you? And shockingly, she said, yeah, go ahead. So they prayed for her, and next day they came back, and she said, I slept well last night. I couldn't believe it. So God had revealed himself to her. And so they asked her, do you want to believe? No. Okay. Don't want to believe yet. After a couple of times, they went back to her house again, and there she was sitting in the middle of the room with this sheet over her. And she says, I can't wear any clothes because when I put the clothes on, they burn me. Well, shoot. I mean, obviously, this is a demonic thing, you know? And so they said, well, do you want us to tell that evil spirit to go? And she said, yes. So they just said, evil spirit, leave in Jesus' name. And he left. All of a sudden, she knew something was different. She went into her room and put on clothes, and all was great. She's wearing clothes like normal again. Do you want to believe? No, not really. As far as salvation. So this is like incremental revelations of God. And what do you do? Do you just wash your hands and walk away and say, oh, she's just never going to believe, forget it? Or do you keep building that relationship and offer more and more of Jesus? To this day, right now, she still is an unbeliever, but she's not an unbeliever that hasn't seen God. And I believe the day is coming very soon when she will be one of those first converts from this very resistant group, because God loves her and he's reaching out to her. It's daunting to do something miraculous that's very sensational, to raise the dead, to make legs grow, to do these amazing miracles that require such an immediate change. And for many of us, we don't even want to give it a shot, and that's okay. And we don't need to start with that. We don't have to look for this opportunity for God to do the miracle of miracles in the lives of our friends or our loved ones. But God is ready to do something in their lives. I guarantee it. I don't care who it is. God is ready to do something in their lives. We need to ask the Lord to show us what he's doing so that we can come alongside and ask God to do something for them. Something small. Maybe a provision. I don't have enough money to get through the month, and we pray, and all of a sudden somehow they get through the month. Something small like I can't sleep. Something small like I've got a cold and it's just been bugging me. Well, let me pray for you. And I believe that if we will minister to people according to faith, whatever their level of faith is, meet them at that level. If they don't have the faith to grow a new leg, well, then don't pray for that. If they don't have the faith to be raised from the dead, and they probably don't because they're dead, or the family members around, or whoever that faith is required of, then don't do it. But let us do what we can. What we can do is what God's doing. If God is doing it, he wants us to join him. And now I want to finish something we started. I was so blessed by the presence of God at worship, and particularly in the song that got cut short, because I sensed the anointing of God in that moment so powerfully, I was brought to tears. And I was in the front row, so none of you got to see that. It's all right with me. God was moving, and we heard from God, a message from God at that moment, more than one message. But I believe that we need to finish something. And the song that we were singing, do you remember it? How many remember it? Raise your hand. What was it? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. This is not talking about darkness in you. This is talking about darkness in other people. This is talking about miracles for them. This is talking about God making a way for them. It's not about us. It's about those people around us that need God's miracle-working power, that need his touch. Amen? I want to sing that song. I want to do it again, and I want us to sing it like we're praying for the people in our lives that need God's touch, that need a revelation of his presence. And I believe there will be testimonies of people finding God finally because they were met in their need. I want us to sing that song mostly so our hearts are changed towards them. That we have faith to believe God is working and he's going to do something new as we go from this place today. So if I could have whatever worship team needs to be up here to do that song, especially my sister that was leading, I hope you're still here. That was so blessed. I loved it. Let's sing that song and let's sing it as a shift in our own hearts that we're not seeking for all of this for us, but for those that we love that do not know the Lord Jesus.